Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. In this episode, I shoot the breeze with Inner Circle coach Susan Niebergall. We really just catch up with each other. This episode is not the standard educational type podcast. Susan and I are best of best friends, and we coach the Inner Circle together, and we really just wanted to catch up, see how each other are doing, see what we're doing for nutrition and strength training during quarantine. We spoke a lot about Harry Potter as well, so not the usual educational type podcast, but just a fun discussion between the two of us. I hope you enjoy it. Talk to you soon. Hello, Susan.
Hello, Jordan. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's amid all of this craziness. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there amidst all this craziness.
Yeah. What's going on? What's talk about one thing that isn't going well and one thing that is going well.
Start with the positive. What's going well is, ironically, training and working out phenomenally. That's amazing. Yeah, which is crazy because I hate working out at home.
What's changed? What's going well?
The daily challenges have made it all the difference. The three things. And I was telling somebody earlier today, the funny thing that I'm noticing since I've been doing this 4 weeks now, I really feel like my physique is changing. For sure. From that and being able to do my workouts. I'm lucky enough to still be able to do the workouts you gave me pretty much here at home. So I really haven't missed a beat with that. But doing those things every single day, my weight stayed almost the same. That's been really funny too. The weight has literally been flatlined almost completely. Yeah, just very little. Yeah, over the last several weeks. But I really see me starting to lean out a little bit more from my initial 6-pound gain.
That's super cool.
It's fascinating to watch this play out a little bit. I feel stronger now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The chins and my core is like on fire right now. So that's been a huge surprise positive.
What are the daily challenges?
So I am doing some chin-ups every single day. I started with week one of this mess. I was 6 every day. And the second week was 6 every day. And then it went to 7 every day the next week. And the fourth week now I'm up to 8 every day. And they're flying up. So I could easily go to 10 now probably. But I'm going to do next week I'll be 9. And the week after that I'll be 10. And the week after that I'll be 11. I mean, that's how I want to progressively build.
Is it like in a row or just throughout the day?
No, in a row.
Got it. Okay.
I just knock them out.
So you do one set of 8 every day right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I could do more, but I don't want to, you know, and I'm doing a lot of other things. So I think just one set, greasing the groove a little bit and just seeing how far I can go with that, you know?
That's awesome. And how high are you just going to go until you can't progress anymore over a week? Yeah. And then what do you do then? What do you do when you get to like a certain amount and then how will you change it up?
I don't know. I think I may go back to weighting them.
Okay.
I may dial back the reps and start strapping on 5 pounds on my back or something like that. Kind of do something like that because I did it just because since I've put on weight, they feel heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, they feel really heavy. So I'm like, I hated that. I hadn't really thought that part through when I was doing the muscle thing. So I wanted to get stronger at my new weight is basically what pushed me to do that.
That's awesome. I love that. And that's smart. And then you get up to a certain amount, whether it's like 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever it is, then you dial back down the reps and put some weight on.
Yeah. I would love. Yeah. That's what I would like to do.
That's awesome. I love that.
And so that's a real training is a real positive for me, which is very surprising.
You're doing 300 pull aparts a day too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I started at, I mean, I did those every day anyway, but not to that volume. Mm-hmm. I could do 50 when I started. So I started at sets of 50 and now I'm in sets. I'm just doing 3 sets of 100 right now.
You just do 100 in a row?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's changed exponentially since I started, you know? And then I'm doing dragonflies too. And that I'm playing around with. I'm doing a couple sets of 3 or 4. And then sometimes I'll do iso hold ones. And then sometimes I'll do eccentric. I mean, I just play around with those, but I touch those every day too.
That's awesome. And your abs feel strong too?
Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm also doing that crazy ab ladder that we have in the inner circle too.
Oh, that one's brutal.
The bicycle crunch and hollow hold one. Or
yeah.
So I don't do that every day. God knows, I think I would die. But I'm doing the full ladder a couple times a week.
Are you trying to improve in time, or what are you trying to do with that? Just do it.
No, just endurance. You know, yeah. I don't care how fast it takes me to do it. I just want to be able to do it.
That's amazing. That's and so how long do you think you're working out a day right now?
You know, it's hard to tell because it's spread out in little bits. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one thing I've kind of liked. Like, I don't have to go to the gym. I have to get it all done there and then come home. Okay, if I didn't get it all done, I'll just come back downstairs in a little while and I'll finish it. So yeah. I've liked that part a lot. So I honestly don't know. The challenge thing's not very long. They don't take long at all. But workout wise, you know, I don't know. No longer than I ever have, that's for sure.
No longer than an hour or so.
No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's great. It's, I've been doing the 300 push-ups a day, and then I've been doing like random like isolation workouts on top of it. So like a 300 push-ups scattered throughout the day, and then I'll do like either an arm workout or a shoulder workout or something. And so literally I just did the arm workout a little bit ago. It took like 25 minutes, like not that long. Yeah. And then the 300 push-ups, I can do those in about 30 minutes as well. Like even if I like just save it all for one 30-minute period, or if I do it throughout the day, it's just little brief periods of 8 to 10 minutes. So it really doesn't take that long, which is cool because it took way longer at the beginning. Yeah. It's only day, I think today is day 20 of the 300 push-ups a day. So it's really cool to see how quickly you could progress with this stuff.
I was telling somebody this, that has made a significant difference just in mindset with this whole craziness that we're going through right now, but just, and the fact that I see changes already, like I mm-hmm. can do eight, I could do 10 chin-ups right now and they would probably all fly up pretty well. That's, I couldn't do that 4 weeks ago, you know, and that would have been a big struggle.
It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's cool because it gives you a lot of perspective in terms of it. Any time you detrain in one thing, it doesn't take that long to build it back up.
Yeah.
Right. It's like you hadn't been doing the chin-ups a lot before. You weren't anywhere near where you are now. But it also goes in the other direction that eventually when we do get back in the gyms and things start to return back to normal, it might take a month or so, but that's not that long.
No.
It might take a month to build back up to where you were. It's really not that long though.
Mm-mm. It's not that long. And I know for me, boy, when my gym opens, we're back on the 45 pound. That's going to happen this time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to happen. It's not going to happen before gyms open. I'm sure of that, but that's, yeah, I had my eye on that for a long time, but now seeing how things go now, yeah, I want to do that.
The weighted chin up with 45 pounds on. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. I just watched a video of me doing it with 35 pounds on. And I thought, okay, I'm really, I can do it.
when was that video from?
It's been a while, probably a year.
Got it.
Yeah.
And how do your shoulders feel?
Right now they feel great. I was concerned about that.
Yeah.
But they feel great. I think balancing the chin-ups with band pull-aparts is great. Mm-hmm. I think that's a smart thing. I'm still doing a little shoulder mobility stuff too. That's the other thing I've been having time to do is more mobility-focused stuff. I just, even if I'm sitting down here just working, I'll just get up out of my chair and start doing some hip stuff or something just to do it. I never do that, you know?
That's
so there's
awesome.
Another positive.
It's amazing. So yeah. So what's one thing you're struggling with right now?
Isolation. Just
what about
I feel
it?
Out of touch with everyone and everything, you know. I have people here all the time. Tim and Mike are here all the time, except when Mike's working. And so it's not isolation from that kind of standpoint. It's just being in touch with a normal routine, maybe. I think that's it. You know?
Yeah. I get it. It's so odd. It's such
a. How about you?
I mean, all things considered, doing well, you know, I mean, just hanging out, doing work, doing the challenges, trying to make as much funny content as I can. Sort of just like spending a good portion of the day just researching things to make content about. Like yesterday I saw two things yesterday. I saw number one, these gummies that are like literally they're like gummies that are infused with apple cider vinegar, and the advertisement literally, like, it was bad in two forms. Number one, it said that it was basically using right now and the fear mongering around your immunity to try and scare people into needing these because they said it'll boost your immunity. Number two, it was saying how apple cider vinegar is proven to help you lose weight. I was like, this is insane. So I'm going to make a longer video on that. And I saw another thing. I'm going to make I think today is what I'm going to do a video on, this headset. And you can't make this up. And clearly it was made by like very well-practiced marketers. The sales copy was great. The website was great. Like it was, and they're selling it for $599. It's a headset that you put on that basically looks like expensive headphones, but they don't go over your ear. They just go right up, they go right on your temples. And they say that it sends like radio waves through your head so that it desensitizes the part of your brain that makes you feel hungry. And
what?
It's outrageous. And the crazy part is the sales copy is written in a very convincing way. The website is made in a very it's clearly done by professionals to like in a very great marketing strategy. But just looking at it from a scientific perspective, it's outrageous. So I want to try and make a funny video on that.
Oh,
but it's just so crazy to see what's coming out right now. I see a lot of I think a lot of it's panic driven because the economy is taking such a huge hit. There's a lot of panic right now with people doing outrageous and there's always stupid things on the market and people selling bad stuff. But it just seems to be coming to the forefront a lot right now.
Yeah. See it here too. I think people are not only concerned about the whole virus itself, but just the economy too.
Yeah.
And what is it going to be like on the other side of this? And when, you know, so still no one seems to know. There's no real end that we can see, you know, no finish line yet.
That's one of the craziest parts is like not knowing what's going to when will it be over? And then what's going to happen once it's over? Like, will there still be restrictions? I saw a video of a guy get arrested. I saw a video guy get arrested because he was surfing the other day in California.
By himself?
Yeah. He was just surfing by himself
on Clues Beach?
On some beach. I don't know which beach, but, I mean, obviously supposed to be in isolation and or shelter in place or whatever it is. And like, clearly like he was not following instructions, but it's just so crazy to see like how quickly we go from a free country to, well, if you're surfing, you're getting arrested. Like it's crazy.
Yeah. Gosh, that's insane. But that's kind of, that's where we are.
What's going on with your nutrition? Like what are your nutrition goals right now?
Maintaining. I have not changed a thing. You know, I'm just, you know, when I finished the muscle building stuff, I just took away the 3 days of a little more and I'm not doing that. So there hasn't been a huge shift. You know, it's so funny because I talk to people about that and they're like, wait a minute, you didn't track any calories, you know, blah, 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 blah. No, I didn't. I didn't track any calories. And I got a lot of pushback. Like, well, wouldn't it be more accurate if you know? Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Of course it would be, but I didn't care. I didn't care. I really wasn't even going to weigh myself until you and I had the discussion to maybe set a goal of a pound a month or something like that. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have stepped on the scale either.
I'm glad I did that.
I learned a lot from that piece. But yeah, so my nutrition hasn't changed. I'm just kind of doing the same thing I've always done.
Well, I think what's important to remember about that is you weren't tracking calories, but you also weren't in a rush, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you weren't trying to do as much as possible in a month or 2 months. How long was it? 5 months? It was
6 months.
6 months.
Yeah.
So most people don't stick with one program for 2 weeks, never mind for 6 months.
Right.
And because you had a much longer, literally half of a year time frame in mind, you went through the first 2 months, realized you weren't doing what you needed. You weren't eating enough for those first 2 months. So, and because you weren't in a rush, it wasn't like, you weren't like, wow, those 2 months were a waste or anything. It was a learning experience. And because you started tracking your weight and started getting that data point, you could then adjust your calories as needed. And on a sort of like a play it by ear or day by day basis, you could see the progress, you could see if it was going or not, and then adjust as needed. And obviously tracking your calories would have been more accurate, but then you have to say, like, okay, well, so what comes at the expense of tracking my calories? Like, what do I lose as a result of it? And this is where it's like, okay, as a more educated, practiced individual in this, you can make that choice. You can make the decision, will I do it or not? But if you had just been starting out, you never tracked before and you had zero knowledge, then probably you would have done it.
Yeah, no, and that's it. I mean, I've been in maintenance for years, so I kind of knew what that is. You know, I don't need to track my maintenance. I know what that is. So for that reason, because I've done it for so long, I didn't have to. And also because I didn't have like a goal of, I want to build so much muscle by a certain date. And I don't care. I really don't care. I didn't care really if I came out of this and really it didn't go well and things didn't work right and I didn't build any muscle. I just wanted to do it. And yeah. People have a hard time understanding, what, you didn't have a goal? My goal was to do it. That was it.
And you came out, like, do you know how much muscle you built over those 6 months?
I mean, I don't even know. Cause I mean, I didn't take any measurements. I didn't do anything like that. I did take some pictures. And I wasn't as great with before pictures, which I never am, but I had enough where I could see substantial, like, glute growth, especially. That was eye-opening to me when I saw pictures of that. I've noticed a lot of growth through here, through the chest and the shoulders, and arms for sure.
Yeah, I think your legs and glutes were what I definitely first noticed, like, as you kept coming up to film the Inner Circle editions. Yeah. Legs and glutes for sure. And we had an emphasis on that as well.
Yes.
But, like, overall, legs, glutes, shoulders, chest, absolutely without question. And so it's actually going to be very cool to watch that now. Like, if you're in maintenance now, then and you continue to build strength and build muscle, oftentimes what will happen is it's more of like a slow body recomposition. So you'll continue to lose a little bit of fat. Your muscle will stay where it is. And so eventually you'll – and this is sort of what happens, where people will post their pictures of when they weighed one thing, and then they'll post a picture where they weigh the exact same amount, but they look completely different. It's like they don't understand that takes years and years and years to do that. It's like you don't stay at the same weight while you do that. First, you go through different cycles of bulking and cutting and bulking and cutting before you weigh the same amount. So I would imagine slowly over this time, you'll lose a little bit of fat, your muscle will stay the same, then maybe you'll go through another bulking phase in a year or whatever it is.
I want to do it again, for sure.
Yeah. And eventually you'll probably weigh about the same as you were, but significantly leaner and more muscular.
Yeah, I feel like I'm at the very beginning of that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my weight is leveled off, and then now I'm starting ever so slightly to see small little things in body recomp. It'll be an interesting journey to go on. I mean, it's fascinating to see what happens.
What are some of the questions you're getting right now during all of this from either Inner Circle members or people on Instagram? Like, what are some of the major questions you're seeing?
People are worried about losing their progress, whether it's more so in the gym. It seems like it's all gym focused because gyms are closed and they can't go to the gym. They're worried about losing all their progress that they made in the gym. And they're now at home, isolated, and the borderline binging is starting to happen. Mindless eating, all of that is at a kind of an all-time high. One of those two things. I hear about that a lot. How about you?
Yeah, definitely a lot of that. I see it's been an interesting progression, because when all this first started, like when it first like went sort of, it's such a sharp, rapid ascent to just craziness, because it came out of nowhere seemingly, for at least in the US. Obviously it had been happening in other places long before, but it seemed just so rapid here. And when it first all went nuts, I was getting very few fitness questions. It was mainly it was all just what's going on, how are you dealing with it, like, this is so crazy. It was mainly stuff about the virus and like what's going on just in the world.
We saw that Inner Circle a lot
of that in the Inner Circle, and just like in general, whether it was a Q&A or questions, like I usually on an Instagram Q&A, it's just thousands of questions about fat loss and nutrition and strength training. And then it was very few questions about that for about a week or two. And that was actually the impetus for me talking about, like, now might not be the best time for fat loss, because I was seeing so many people, just their mindsets were completely elsewhere. I was like, if your mindset isn't in it right now, then you have to be okay with understanding that it might not be the best time to do that. Now that it's been another few weeks, seeing a lot more fitness questions come back into it. And I think this really speaks to, number one, as humans, we're very good at adapting. And even though we're stuck at home and it might not be our ideal environment, I think people may have spent the last few weeks not working out as much as they would have liked, not eating as well as they would have liked. They're getting more used to the situation. And now they're like, okay, need to get back into some semblance of a routine. So I'm seeing a lot of questions about routine. So a lot of questions like, I need more structure to my day.
More
workout stuff and yes, nutrition stuff, mindless eating, binge eating, stress eating. But a lot of it is people are struggling to come up with a routine for their day.
Yeah. And I think it gets really complicated when you have kids at home now who you're homeschooling for the rest of the year, and you're trying to work your job from home too, and your husband's job or whatever. Yeah, it becomes really complicated.
I really have no idea. Huge, huge credit to the people at home who have little kids or just kids in general and are homeschooling and teaching. Like, geez, it's crazy. I mean, actually, what do you recommend, like, to anybody, whether or not they have kids or whatever, but like, how do you go about your day? How do you structure your routine so that you accomplish whatever it is you need to accomplish in the day?
Before I go to bed every night, I make a short to-do list for the next day. I do, just because otherwise I may lay in bed thinking what I have to do tomorrow morning. I'd rather get it out of my brain. Nice. So for me, it gets it out of here.
I'm going to try that.
I like it. I mean, for me, just because I will perseverate. Oh, crap. And I'll put a reminder on my phone. And then it's just like, ugh. So I've already done that. It's cut that down tremendously. So I literally write down three or four things. Probably no more than four. I may have had five once, but a short list of things that are reasonable to get done. And I'll put stuff on there like laundry, because that will be the last thing I ever think of. And then I'll hear, is there any whites in the laundry? So I actually put laundry on the list every so often too. But I find for me that having a short list really, and on my short list is included my chin-ups, I kind of group my little daily challenges as a thing to do every day, but it's on my list. But I will write down, you know, I need to post something today. I want to do my daily challenges today. I need to write chapter 5 of my book today. You know, whatever it is, I do 4 or 5 things, and that's it. That has helped me tremendously.
What's one of the big things you have to do today?
The big things left. It's the book. The book that's usually the last thing I get to. And I need to make myself do that first.
Prioritize that one.
That needs to be at the top of the list. I need to finish a chapter. I mean, I'm not really editing yet, but I'm going back to each one and adding to. And so I'm doing that chapter by chapter by chapter.
Got it. Nice.
So you do a to-do list too, though, right?
Yeah, I do a to-do list. I've done a to-do list for a long time. I've always done it in the morning, though. I just wake up and I make coffee and write the to-do list. I'm going to start trying to do it at night just to see how that works. I usually do it in the morning, and I just like the feeling of wake up, and I feel like I'm being productive as I write it, which is one of the traps people fall into, where they'll write a to-do list, and it feels productive to write the to-do list. And it's like, that's why they'll write 20 things on it.
Yes.
Because just the act of writing it, they feel like they're doing something great. But then they go throughout the day and they don't get nearly as much done as they could have if they just kept the to-do list to 3 to 5 things.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's one of the most common messages I get about my to-do list on Instagram. People are like, there's very few things on it. There's not much. Like, how come it's so little? And for me, it's always like, I would rather get 80 to 90% done of this small list than like 10% done of a big list.
Yeah.
And it just, number one, from a psychological perspective, like, I got way more accomplished. And number two is, it over the long term, I've noticed when you make smaller, more brief lists, it's more sustainable. You can do it every day because you can keep going after, as opposed to when you make a massive list every day, it's very difficult to actually make a dent on it at all.
I totally agree. And I think there's something to be said for the psychological benefit of crossing something off your list. And not only just one thing, but if you can get all three things, you know, crossing all three things off and starting your next list from scratch.
What, do you have any nutritional thoughts for this time? Like, any nutritional advice or thoughts or tips or strategies for what's going on right now?
You know, I've been dealing a lot with people who are, you know, overeating, mindless. It's all mindless stuff. They're just reaching for this. They're reaching for that. It's boredom. It's, you know, it's that kind of thing. I think that's at an all-time high. And I tell everybody, because I catch myself walking over to the drawer to do the same thing. But I tell people to do two things, and it's just to bring awareness to it, because I think that's where you got to start. You got to be aware of what you're doing. Is if you're going over to the snack drawer, I'll grab the handle, and then I'm like, wait a minute, am I hungry? I ask myself, am I hungry? And the answer is always no. I'm rarely ever hungry. So then, okay, I've become aware, and I've actually said it out loud. No, Susan, you're not hungry. So boom, it's now up here. It's in my consciousness. And then I'll go away for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I'll go do something else. I'll come downstairs. I'll go for a walk. I'll do my band pull-aparts. I'll do whatever for 20 minutes. And then if I want something, I'll go up and have it. And then it feels different. It feels okay, you know? And chances are, though, I really don't want anything. I mean, that's kind of come and gone. You know, I'm on to something else. Mm-hmm. Whatever. That's helped me a lot. Just being aware, because I think a lot of people just kind of go into a zone, you know, and they just start eating. You know, don't eat from the container, portion things out, however, all kinds of strategies like that, but just be aware.
I like that. I like the idea of not making it off limits, but just giving yourself a brief time frame. Like, listen, if you want it, come back in 15
have
minutes.
Sure. Yeah, it feels different.
Yeah. So much of it is... And people ask you the last thing from the perspective of, I'm stress eating, I'm emotional eating. And so if you really break that down, so what is emotional eating? What is stress eating? And it's usually done out of an impulse, a stress impulse, an emotional impulse, where even though you logically might not want it, emotionally you have this impulse to do it. And the easiest way, or not necessarily the easiest way, but a very simple strategy to use is wait 15 minutes. And oftentimes, once you get to the end of that, the impulse is no longer there. And you're glad, you're more proud that you didn't, quote unquote, give into it.
100%. And it, you know, it's maybe not always the easiest thing to do, but I think it's well worth it. And once you do it, it makes the next time easier. I mean, it just builds from there. You know, and like you said, you're happier. You made the choice that's going to make you the happiest, the most proud. You'll look back and think, yeah, I did it.
100%.
Yeah, it's great.
What are you reading right now?
Harry Potter, Chamber of Secrets.
How far into this one are you?
I just literally, not very far. Just started. Not even a third of the way in yet. Just started.
How do you like it?
I like it. I like it a lot. I'm liking this, I don't want to say more than I thought I would. It's not that. I thought all of the names and all of the stuff was just going to be too much for my head to keep track of. And there's a little of that. I mean, sometimes I have to go back. Who is this? What? I'm getting good, though. I think I'm settling in.
Got it. So you finished the whole first book.
Yeah. That went right by very quickly.
How did you like that? Like, what was there anything surprising or any part of that story that like sticks out to you?
I had read it in drips and drabs years ago, but I never really read it from cover to cover. Mm-hmm. And actually, I haven't read a book cover to cover in I don't know how long. That was the first. That was a big deal. When I finished that, I was just kind of like...
Sense of pride, right?
Yeah. I had not allowed myself to read a book that long because I always kind of thought of reading a book as kind of this leisurely thing. Like, I should be working. I don't have time to do this, you know?
Yeah.
So that's something on my to-do list every day.
When I could create content. Yeah, absolutely.
That, yeah. So I never have read during the day yet, though. That's my next hurdle to get over, is to open that book with sunlight.
So was there any part of that book that stands out as like you enjoyed, like this messaging or the symbol? Because there's a lot in that series of like different symbolism and messaging, and or like any part of that story that maybe you have questions about. Like I've never spoken about Harry Potter on the podcast or on a video before. It'd be cool, like, because you haven't read the second or the rest of the series yet, so it'll be cool to like hear these thoughts as you progress.
A little book talk.
Yeah, a little book chat.
Should
Harry
have done
Potter
that
and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Questions. I don't know if I have any questions.
Was there anything that surprised you throughout the book?
So the I don't know how the twists and turns towards the end of that book with who was really behind stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
That was a little bit interesting. Especially at the end when it all kind of hit the fan. Yeah. I was surprised by that. That one was where I kept going. I said, no, I'm almost done. I need to finish this. You know,
that
was very surprising. I really liked that. I liked how they developed the friendship. I mean, and it wasn't right away, you know, that took a while to develop their friend, the three of them, their close friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I found it all fascinating more than I thought I would, really.
What do you think of Snape?
Yeah, the jury's out on him. Yeah. Don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
You haven't seen the movies, right?
I want to say I did see the first movie, but it's been so long.
So you haven't seen any of like the, you know, none of the extra story. Amazing. All right, cool.
Do I need to see the movie too?
Don't see any of the movies until you finish the books. So read all the books, then go watch the movies.
Okay.
So what do you think about Snape? Like, what do you like? Because he's a critical character throughout all of this, and I don't want to give any more information away than that. He's just a critical character. What do you think about him right now?
Complete ass. I mean, yeah. I don't see a lot of good. As what the picture that's been painted up to this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But surprised at his role at the end.
Yeah. In what sense?
That was very surprising because, you know, everything pointed to him.
It must be him. There were,
'cause it set you up and all these little things that happen, it set you up. Yeah. And you take it hook, line and sinker and boom, it's not him. Very well done.
him limping away. It must have been Fluffy. Yeah. He must have tried to get past Fluffy and it was really, Quirrell the whole time.
Yeah. So not a fan of him yet.
Yeah.
Just because he seems to be the big problem, but I'm getting the feeling he's not really the big problem. He's involved, but he's not the big problem.
Very involved. I'm not going to give anything away. Critical character. And I would say if anyone read the whole first book and got to the end of the first book and said, you know, he's a great individual, you'd be insane.
Yeah.
But I will say, and anyone who's read the books and watched the movies, they always say the books are better. I can't believe I forgot his name in real life. The guy who plays Snape in the movies. This is like a dishonor to him because I think he passed away recently. But he is probably my favorite actor in the series. He did such a tremendous job of playing Snape in those films. What do you think about the writing? Like, do you enjoy the writing? Like,
I do. I enjoy it very much. The book one was very easy to read.
Mm-hmm.
It went fast. It was very easy. And I feel that at least so far, it's the same in book two. And I like how she summarized at the beginning of book two, kind of in little bits, what had happened in book one, just in little bits, just, oh yeah, that's right. Just so you can, keep on going. But I'm curious, does she ever, in any of the books going down, is there ever any more detailed about the parents? Does she write about that?
There is.
Okay.
There's more detail about, there's more stories about the parents. I'll actually say this. Book three is my favorite book of all seven. The third book is my favorite, and you start to learn a lot more. It's actually book three, and it's okay. I'm not going to give anything, I can't say that because it would give a significant thing away. But book three, you start to learn a lot about the parents. You start to learn about their relationships outside of their marriage in terms of their friends and their family. Mm. And you start to learn a lot more about the history of them and how the role of their circle of friends played a role in their deaths. And
I'm very interested in that.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see how Harry responds to it. And it's interesting to see how like it all ties into his educational experience and everything. It's remarkably well done. Has the writing changed anything in your writing at all?
I don't know yet. I don't know, but I bet it will. It's interesting to read a little bit of something like that and then have to go into my book. Even though they're two very different ways, obviously, of writing. One's a memoir, one's not. But it's just making me aware of detail a little mm-hmm. bit more, you know, which I think is something that I've struggled with when I've been doing my own book, is enough detail. I think I'm being detailed, and then, no, I'm really not.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But hers is so simple detail. I mean, it's not like... She doesn't take two pages to describe some little thing. She's very efficient with it, I think.
Very, yeah. And that's the difference between her and I think some more classical writers who they could just take 3 pages to describe a flower.
Yeah.
Like they could just go on and you're so enthralled by it and it's very in-depth and the writing is incredible. I think she's very efficient with her descriptions and to the point where you can draw your own image of the person and you can draw like sort of create it in your own mind. That being said, I think she also has to be considering how big the books get, how long they get, and how it's like if she wasn't as efficient, the books would be like triple the size.
Yeah, which that to me blows my mind, like how big the books get as you go on.
Yeah,
and I mean Jesus, and then if she wasn't efficient, I mean how do people have that much stuff in their brain? God,
it's really incredible. And you already said you think it's cool how she sort of reminds you at the beginning about stuff that happened in the other book.
Yeah,
she does that throughout the entire series, and she'll do it in the middle of a book. The only way to have been able to do that is to have it planned from the beginning.
Yeah.
The stuff that she knew that was going to happen from book one, the characters, the threads of the relationships are so incredible. She did a remarkable job. I'm excited to have a little book club chat with you as it goes on and like,
oh, yeah, man.
See what you think. What house would you be in, do you think?
Probably Gryffindor. I think the Hufflepuff, this is maybe. I could kind of relate.
Why do you think Hufflepuff?
I don't know. Personality wise, I think I just kind of, I don't know. It's a little softer. And just personality wise.
If I was a sorting hat, I wouldn't put you in Hufflepuff.
Yeah. Where would you put me?
I'd put you in Gryffindor.
Well, that's my gut.
Because one of the, they're like one of the major things about Gryffindor is number one, courage, but also just doing what is right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stand and doing things that even if they scare you, you still do it. And like, I think you're one of the prime examples of someone who will, you know, you stopped your teaching career and then you started your own fitness business and you travel all over not only the country, but the world with me just randomly like hey, want to come to London? Yeah, let's go. Like you do things that like are very outside of your comfort zone. And we've had hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of discussions about things that make you nervous, but you do it anyway and you put yourself out there. And I think, you know, Ravenclaw is they're very smart, very intelligent. And that's them. I never ever resonated with that group because I've never been that person.
Yeah.
And I think that you and I relate on that front a lot where it's like, even if we might not be the smartest person in the room, we're still going to make sure we do what we know is right no matter what. Which is
rarely the smartest person in any room.
But you always be willing to push outside your comfort zone, which is one of the things I admire the most about you. So I would definitely put you in Gryffindor for sure.
That was my gut too.
But even that, there's a lot that we learn about the houses as you go throughout the reading process and the books.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know really a lot about the houses at all, except they mention them in passing for a Quidditch match or something. You know, that's it. You really don't know that much about the houses.
You'll actually start to learn more about them in the second book. Okay. The Chamber of Secrets is actually a very important part of the houses and one of the creators of the house. I'm not going to tell you, can't say, but actually just based on like the cover of the book, who do you think, what do you know yet so far about the Chamber of Secrets?
Literally, it just started. I mean, literally they just took him from the house.
Got it.
So I just started it last night.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to say anything else.
Don't get me started on that family.
Oh, the Dursleys. How crazy is that? It just makes you hate them so much.
That's a trip. I feel like something's coming around. It's coming. Something's coming for them.
Yeah, it's
sure.
So, is there anything else that, I mean, this is definitely probably the most random podcast you've ever done. Is there anything that you want to leave people with or have them think about or any messages that you'd like to get across during this time?
You know, I think the most important thing, I think it's helped both of us too, is just structuring your day to as best of your ability. You know, with kids and people at home, I know it's harder, but structure your time and include in that structure some time for you, you know, to do whatever. Because I think especially if you have a house full of people and you're schooling and you're working, you've got to carve out something for you during this craziness. And sunshine and fresh air help a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Really does.
What's it like there today? It's rainy and gloomy here today.
It is windy, and it was like near 80 yesterday and sunny. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It's dropped 20 degrees, maybe 60, and the wind is going crazy. We have a front coming through right now.
Got it.
It looks like.
Where can people find you, Susan?
Instagram, Susan Niebuhr Golf Fitness, and YouTube, and Facebook, and Twitter, all the same name.
I love it. Thank you, Susan.
It was great talking to you as usual.
Love you. I'll talk to you soon.
Love you.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. If you would like to join the Inner Circle, you can do it at www.sfinnercircle.com. We've got hundreds upon hundreds of home and bodyweight workouts for you, from beginner all the way to advanced, regardless of how much equipment you have or do not have. We'd love to see you in the Inner Circle. Have a wonderful day. Talk to you soon.